Welcome to Doctrine for Life with Dr. Joel Beeke. In today's broadcast, we hear the second part of Dr. Beeke's sermon on Galatians 6:14, Exclusive Glory in Christ's Cross. His sermon was originally a meditation offered to the congregation after they celebrated communion or the Lord's Supper. In the first part of this message, Dr. Beeke talked about why Paul gloried in the cross of Christ alone. Now, in the second part, we will hear of the double effect that this glory produces in the lives of those united to Jesus Christ. As you listen, may the Spirit give you ears to hear and a heart to believe the words of eternal life.
This much I know, my only glory is in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. If that's your life, you are blessed indeed. If it's not your life, it can become your life. How? Well, that's what Paul goes on to tell us in our second thought this evening, what this glory produced. Now, Paul's exclusive boasting or glorying in the cross produces a double effect in his relationship to this world. Listen to what he says. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me. And, second effect of boasting only in the cross, I am crucified unto the world. What does that mean? Well, first, of course, we have to understand what Paul means here by the word world, or cosmos in the Greek. And the word cosmos has several meanings in the New Testament. Sometimes it means the physical world. Sometimes it means a large mass of people living on the world. But that's not how Paul uses it here. He's referring here to a kingdom in which its ruler and its inhabitants are lost in sin and wholly at odds with anything pleasing to God. It's Satan's kingdom and his minions' kingdom. The kingdom of darkness. World here is used as a realm in opposition to Christ and his church. And so this world, though created to reflect God's glory, now lives in rebellion against the Lord and his anointed, Christ. This world has become a fallen world, a disordered world, in the grip of the evil one. This is the world Paul is speaking of here. And he says, when I embrace the cross by Spirit-worked faith, and the cross becomes my all, my salvation, my boast, my glory, two things happen in my relationship to the world, this evil world. Number one, this world becomes crucified for me. The respect, the honor, the favor, the enticements of this world becomes crucified for me. Listen to Paul. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom, or perhaps better translated, by which the world is crucified unto me. Paul is saying, when the cross has entered my life, everything changed in my understanding of the world. Before my conversion, while I lived in the world, I lived a life without Christ. Well, that is the world. Now, Paul didn't live in open, immoral sin and unrighteousness, at least not in the world's eyes, though he was persecuting Christians. But when the Lord opened Paul's eyes and he saw his own life, he details it for us in Philippians 3. Remember that? He says, I might have confidence in the flesh more than almost any other man walking around if I wanted to put my salvation there. I was circumcised the eighth day. I was of the stock of Israel. I was of the tribe of Benjamin. I was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. Touching the law of Pharisee, there's five things. Concerning zeal, six things. persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is of the law, blameless. Seven major things. But Paul says, when I embraced the Christ of cross, all these things became garbage to me. Dung means garbage. By the cross, the world is crucified unto me. I count them all these things but loss and dung, that I may win Christ. Paul is saying all my assets became liabilities. All my righteousnesses became unrighteousnesses. When the heavens broke open, and the Son of God said to me, as he threw me on the ground on the way to Damascus, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. You see, Jesus didn't say, Saul, you're a pretty good man. You're working hard for me. You're decent. You live blameless according to my law. You're almost saved. No, congregation, everything became sin for Paul. All his righteousness became unrighteousness. Paul's world was crucified to him. Paul's world collapsed. Paul's world perished. That legalistic world. And Christ's righteousness, as Psalm 71 puts it, thy righteousness, even thine only, became Paul's new world. Through the cross became his love, his righteousness. Christ's righteousness became his righteousness. Is that what happened to you at the table of the Lord this morning as well? When you were sitting here thinking, pondering, did you say to yourself something like this? My world, my righteousness perishes when I drink the cup of blessing which comes from Christ's righteousness. I'm a hell-worthy sinner apart from the cup of his satisfaction. And when you sit here this morning, isn't it true, or was it true, that the world loses all its charm for you, its power upon you? You no longer fear the world's frowns or court the world's love. You're crucified to the world. My righteousness, Paul would say, is nailed to the cross of death. Nailed as a condemned criminal. I disown the world, so to speak, with my whole heart. Even a stronger word he uses. He cursed that world of self-righteousness. He abandoned all but Christ, so that Christ became all and in all. Paul would say, I nailed everything of my own world to the cross as a fruit of finding everything in the cross. It's as if Paul could say with Charles Spurgeon, there is more glory about one nail of the cross than about all the scepters of all kings. Everything of earth grows dull and dim when seen by cross light. See, when you see the beauty and the glory of the cross, that becomes three-dimensional, as it were, in your mind. And the world becomes flat and dull and drab, somber and unattractive compared to the cross, the righteousness of God, the cross, the resting place for sin, the tomb for self, and the throne for our fears. For at the cross, we die to self and sin, and we live to God's glory. Oh, what a beautiful thing this is. Even when the world still seems too attractive to us, and we still have fightings within against it, lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye and the pride of life, we know deep down that then we're just backsliding that moment or wandering away and we're not being what we ought to be. We know deep down, we've been persuaded, we know the joy of it. We know that the cross makes the world look poor in comparison. But then secondly, Paul says, Not only is he crucified the world, but the world has also crucified Paul. He says at the end of our text, "And I unto the world, I am crucified unto the world." So what Paul means by this is that not only does the world lose its glamour in my eyes when I embrace the cross, but the world also is no longer pleased with me. In fact, the world hates me. Jesus said, "The world has hated me, it will hate you also." He who is a friend of God is the world's enemy. So Paul is saying, the world became dead to me and I became dead to the world. There's a double separation, you see. I said farewell to the world and the world said farewell to me. I no longer hanker after the world's wisdom, even though I've been trained at the feet of Gamaliel. I no longer hanker after the world's approval, even though I was the number one leading persecutor of the Christians. I no longer hanker after the world's pleasures and pursuits, and the world no longer hankers after mine. We cannot serve two masters. And so when we go out into the world tomorrow, dear congregation, please go out with this double separation in your heart. The world loves her own. The world pampers her own children. But the children of God are hated in the world. The world sentenced Paul to death. It assumed a hostile attitude toward him. It can't be otherwise. Hatred begets hatred. John 15, verse 19, "If ye were of the world, the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you." So if you live by the cross, you cannot live with the world anymore. You can't be close friends with people who find their life in their own righteousness, and they cannot truly befriend you. Paul knew very well that the world crucified him. He said, "I bear about in my own body the marks of the Lord Jesus." He gives you a whole list of things the world did to him in 2 Corinthians 6. He was shipwrecked, he was beaten, all kinds of things. Now we maybe don't have to go through all of that and can still be Christians in this world. But there will be hostility. There will be persecution. Subtle, perhaps. Open, perhaps. But the world will not tolerate those who embrace the cross of Christ. Because for them, the cross is everything. And it pricks the conscience of the world. For the world, the cross is nothing. Or else they're hostile to it, openly hostile. The cross is also the center of all history. We even speak of before Christ and AD in relationship to the incarnation and the cross. It's inescapable. Someone put it this way: the cross stands high above all the opinions of men. Into that cross all opinions must come at last for judgment. And the world hates that. But the Christian loves it. And so the question for us tonight is, do you feel at home with God in His kingdom, or do you feel at home with the world in His kingdom? Do you have this double effect in your own life? Are you glorying in the cross? Now, that doesn't mean that we should go out and try to purposely get the world angry at us. No, Paul says he tried to live void of offense to God and to man without violating his own conscience. But it does mean that if we are not engaged in holy warfare to crucify the world, and the world can cozy up to us without us feeling uncomfortable, something is drastically wrong in our lives. If we don't hate sin and we can cohabit with this world, we're on our way to eternal punishment. If the world is more alive to us than the cross is, we're living to the world and for the world, and we're not glorying only in the cross. I beseech you, friends, I beseech you, escape eternal punishment by the grace of the Spirit, by fleeing from the wrath to come to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is your only remedy. Don't say you're being presumptuous when you flee to it. It's the least presumptuous thing you can do. You have God's own word to vouch for it. The only really presumptuous thing in this world is to stay away from the cross and think that somehow your life is going to come out okay in the end. It won't. It won't. You can't be saved without the cross. And there are only two options. Either flee from the cross or you die upon the cross. There's no middle way. The cross is either worth everything or it is all, and God forbid, a hoax and worth nothing. To believe that the cross is only worth something is to be a false teacher to the Galatians. It's to forge an unbiblical and meaningless cross and a powerless Christianity. The day is far spent. The day of grace will soon come to an end. And it will soon be eternity. Resist the devil by fleeing to the cross. And I know there are some of you sitting here tonight who, deep in your heart, you long to come there, but you don't know how. Or you think you won't be welcome. I assure you tonight, you will be welcome. You will be welcome. No matter how much you've sinned, no matter how much you've sinned, no matter how old you are, no matter how old you are, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And you're a sinner, so am I. And we are welcome. Sinners are welcome, always welcome, at the cross. So ask God for grace to stop dressing for the world, to come in front of the mirror of this world, but start dressing for the world to come, because you're going to come before the judgment seat of God. Oh, that you would consider that if you marry the spirit of this age, you will find yourself widowed in the age to come. Bend the knee. Confess your sin. Cry out for mercy before it's forever too late. And don't rest until you too can say, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified to me and I to the world. Dear believer, let me give you one closing application. You may be saying tonight, I feel too alive to this world and this world to me. I feel like the world is not offended with me as it ought to be if I was really walking the walk and talking the talk. I'm not dead to the world, and the world is not dead to me. It's not with me as it was in former days when I so fervently hated sin. What's wrong with me? Oh, you're backsliding. You're backsliding. You're leaving your first love. You need to hear the message that Christ brought to the church of Ephesus. Remember, repent, and return. I have somewhat against thee. Thou hast left thy first love. Remember from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works. Let's heed the advice of Thomas Guthrie, who said this: if you find yourself loving any pleasure better than praying, any book better than the Bible, any house better than the house of God, any table better than the Lord's table, any person better than Christ, any indulgence better than the hope of heaven, take alarm. At the same time, we remember that in this ungodly world, our old nature still clings to us. And that means that there will still be times when, rather than crucifying the world, we will feel like the world is overcoming us. And there'll be times that the cross of Christ will be fading away and we'll forget our freedom in the cross. through faith. It's like the American Civil War. You remember when the Edict of Emancipation freed all the slaves? Long after the war had been fought and won over that issue, people went on living like slaves. They simply couldn't grasp that the victory was theirs. Dear Christian, the victory is yours. You've been freed from the dominion of sin, from the slavery of the world to Christ. Live like truly free people who are bound to Christ. And because of that, crucify the attractions of this world. Tell the world by faith, world, all that you offer me is passing vanity. I belong to the King of Kings, to the one who has triumphed. He gives me solid joys and lasting pleasure. He's bound me for his presence. And then fly to the cross again. In the world, you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. The closer we live to this text tonight, the closer we live to heaven. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified to me and I to the world. Amen. Holy Spirit of God, present the cross to each sinner here, each saint here, saved, unsaved, such that it may be the magnet of our souls to draw us irresistibly to Jesus Christ. Grant that we may continually focus on the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that that may give us continual strength to crucify the world, to say no to sin, to stay as far from sin as possible in our thoughts, in our words, in our actions, so that Jesus Christ and his cross and his exaltation will win our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength from here on in forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Doctrine for Life with Dr. Joel Beakey, a ministry of the Gospel Trumpet. Please consider supporting the broadcast of Doctrine for Life with your financial gifts. For more information on how to donate to this ministry, and to download free booklets or audio files of previous broadcasts, please visit our website at gospeltrumpet.net. That's gospeltrumpet.net. William Ames said, "Theology is the doctrine of living to God. May God write the doctrines of the Bible upon your heart so that you may truly live."